Hey, RBWs, welcome to the Rich Black Woman Podcast. And today I'm really excited to be having this conversation with no stranger to the Rich Black Woman Podcast show, Marissa Lee. She is a friend of the podcast and she's going to be my co-host for the next series of conversations where we are going to be breaking down the phenomenon of the soft life. So unless you've been under a rock, or off on a super secret island enjoying the soft life, you've probably heard of the soft life in your social media streams, around these TikTok streets and beyond. Now, the soft life is a movement that many Black women have embraced, and apparently it's been attributed to some Nigerian influencers. And we're going to dig in and kind of see how this applies to our lives today. As some of you already know, Marissa is a believer, a time well strategist, career activist, and a global human resources leader. She's also the founder of So Evolve LLC, an HR firm that specializes in leadership development and life management. And she is committed to creating time wealthy and life healthy leaders. Marissa, welcome back to the Rich Black Woman Podcast.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be back.
Yes. And I'm excited to have this conversation. So we're going to be talking about the storm of soft life conversations. We see the hashtag soft life across Instagram and now probably on Threads,
right?
Latest social media. And it presents a really interesting conversation, particularly for us as Black women in 2023 and how we are looking at our lives and shaping our lives. So I wanted us to kind of delve deeper into this concept and really discuss how we are defining soft life and what it means to Black women and why we think Black women are attaching themselves to this phenomenon so much in such a popular way.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier the soft life in general. It's simply living a life of comfort, luxury, leisure, low stress. And when I think about it, it's really self-care rebranded. And when I look at it from the perspective of my own life, it means a lot. It means not having to hustle and grind to get what is for me. It means being handled with grace and love. It means taking time to love on myself and make sure I'm being loved appropriately. It's not having to always be resilient all the time. And when you think about Black women, that is like a part of, you know, our armor, our story. We always have to be resilient. We always have to be on. And that's a part of my own story. So there's that aspect of letting others save me versus me always having to be the superhero, or, you know, just being able to embrace the life that I have and be able to receive what is for me. And I love the aspect of this where it's the movement is unapologetic about prioritizing self needs. And oftentimes we as women, we center work, children, husband, parents, friends. I could go on about that, right? And oftentimes we don't get to ourselves. We never pencil ourselves in on the schedule or put ourselves on the list to be able to address. And so what is refreshing about the movement is that it gives women confidence and the permission to choose themselves and it not be seen as selfish, but be seen as self-love and being able to think about themselves and do what's right for them.
Absolutely. And I think that's why it's become so popular and really caught on with Black women in particular, because to me, it is rebranding self-care. And because self-care was kind of getting played out. Like when you know that corporations are now like saying hashtag self-care, it's like, really? No, you just want this money over here, you know?
Right.
But the soft life is almost like it's a lifestyle. And it's a lifestyle that affirms, I think, the humanity of Black women that is often denied. We are often told that we are to take on the burdens and the cares of the world before ourselves because of the position that society has placed onto us and quite violently forced us into, oftentimes being matriarchs, not necessarily wanting to be matriarchs like any other woman, wanting to be equally yoked with the partner, with your husband.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree with that.
So I think that the soft life is really about redefining our humanity and understanding that we are more than caretakers and caregivers for people, that we are fully embodied women and that we want to have our partners with us, that we are rejecting being matriarchs, soul matriarchs. We're rejecting being lone rangers in this world, that we are accepting of help in this world, and really understanding that we weren't put on this earth just to give to everybody else and not to give to ourselves. And so I think that this is kind of a revolution that Black women are embracing and being able to prioritize themselves. We have more tools at our fingertips than ever before, like things that our mothers and our grandmothers and great-grandmothers weren't able to access because of the sacrifices that they've made and many of the advances that we've made as a people in this society that really prevented us from having a soft life. I mean, this is something that our ancestors would have loved to been able to enjoy. It's a birthright to be able to enjoy the soft life. And they were given such harsh lives. So many Black women are resonating with this and taking it really by storm and saying, you know what? I have been blessed to be born in this moment, in this season, when I know that my mother who was deserving, my grandmother who was deserving, my great grandmother, but because of the times that they were born into, they were not able to access these things. And so I am going to take full reign and authority and control over these opportunities for me to enjoy, not necessarily the luxuries. It's not always about materialism. It's really about experiencing life for yourself and on your own terms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely agree with that aspect of the point you made about luxury, but it also being a part of the journey that if we want that and we want to, let's say, fly first class and take our vacation time and go somewhere, we can do that. So it's that it's available to us. We have that leisure and we don't have to wait and continue to push it off. But that's something that can be ours at any time.
Absolutely. And I think of, you know, I was looking at, okay, well, what's the Urban Dictionary? What is the Urban Dictionary? Our go-to,
right? Because that's the
right?
True definition, right?
Right, exactly. Okay, we not going to nothing else. Webster's, what's that? We go to the Urban Dictionary. And it says it is the opposite of the hard life, where you make decisions that leave you feeling stress-free and vibrating higher. It's less about wealth, although it helps, and it certainly does. And more about making good choices. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
You know, it really is about making good choices that center you and what you want and what your needs are first. And that could be controversial for Black women because we're taught to center the needs of everyone else. Whether it be family, and I'm not talking about your children and your significant other, your husband. I'm not talking about those things. I think you do those things in balance, though, because I can tell you right now, I know some moms who are trying to be super mom, and that's not the soft life at all. And so it really is looking at how do you apply principles of soft life living in your areas of your life. So I love this definition. And I am all for it. I think bring on the soft life. And I think that's why we're getting some hate too, some haters. A lot of people don't want to see Black women enjoying the soft life. They don't like to see us, you know, there's that hashtag Black boy joy, Black girl joy. a lot of people do not want to see us just enjoying life. They have been addicted to the struggle and seeing us struggle on the struggle bus, just as much as many of us have been conditioned to believe that that is our lot in life. And so the soft life is all about reclaiming, really, I think, our birthright, girl.
Right. Birthright. I agree with that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. 100%. So that brings us to kind of our next topic and question. And that is, how does embracing the soft life drive self-love? We touched on it, but let's talk about that a little bit more deeply.
Yeah, I would say you mentioned definitions before, and I think for self-love, that has to be defined as well. And so when I think about self-love, and it's the act of valuing, respecting, and caring for yourself. So it means accepting and embracing who you are, your flaws, your imperfections, the good, the bad, recognizing your worthiness, and prioritizing your own needs and your happiness. And that can show up in treating yourself with compassion and kindness, setting the right boundaries, engaging in activities, but really looking to nourish who you are holistically. So body, mind, and soul. And when we take those things into consideration, it really puts you in the space to be able to gain the things that you've always wanted and be open to those things that you may not have known that you needed coming into your life. And it is a fundamental part or component of, I would say, like emotional well-being. And it could lead to putting us in the position to be more confident, to be resilient when we need to be, not always, as I mentioned before, and then the fulfillment of life and what you were destined and purposed to be here on this earth. And so when you think about self-love from that perspective and then correlate that and connect that with the soft life, you see that the soft life is the manifestation of your love for self. It is going to be very difficult to embrace the softness of life if you don't know how to love self. And if you look at it from the standpoint of, I've always had a hard life. I don't know what ease feels like. I don't know what it feels like to be soft. You may be apt to reject it. And so understanding how to love yourself is going to put you in a better position to be able to embrace the soft aspects of life.
Absolutely. And it is connected. It's 1 + 1 = 2. Like, if mm-hmm. you want to have the soft life, you do have to have a sense of self-love and understanding that you're worthy of it, understanding that you are valuable, and it's not exclusive to other people, that you can have it too. I do think this is something that is very critical for Black women and our psyche, and how we are told by the world that we aren't valuable enough, that we're not attractive, that we're not this, that we have attitudes, all of those things that are negative inputs by the culture and placed onto us that we can absorb sometimes, end up making decisions based off of those lies about ourselves. So I do think that this is something we have to fight for. We have to fight for that self-love, that sense of that we are valuable, that we are beautiful, that we are worthy, that we deserve the soft life, that we deserve it, and that we're loved. We're loved by our Creator. We're loved. And it's something that I think doesn't happen overnight. It's something that you have to discipline yourself in believing and taking actions towards self-love. I was even thinking of making a list of almost like a soft love / self-love mm-hmm. audit on how are you loving yourself and how are you not loving yourself, and doing a reflection on what are those people or things or habits that you have that reflect self-love, reflect a life of self-love, Or what are those things that are harming you and bringing harshness to your life? They're bringing drama. They're bringing struggle. And how do you get out of that rut and that pattern? I also think that these are things actually that need to be taught to young Black girls from a young age, actually. Yeah. And because it is a part of your identity and also a standard. What is the standard that we want young girls to have about themselves, their sense of confidence, their sense of contribution, their sense of value? And don't get us wrong, like, we know that life is hard, which is all the more reason why you need to be very intentional about creating softness where you can in your life. We don't want to have unnecessary harshness or self-hate or activities and behaviors that bring harm to us when we could have avoided that by just using wisdom. And we could have avoided that by having boundaries and realizing that we cannot save the world. We can only save ourselves. That's who we're accountable to. And we can help others, but we help others within reason and within boundaries. And it is not to help others to the detriment of us. And I think that's where Black women have been told, you give till you have no more to give. You were just supposed to be a martyr for your community. and everybody else can stomp on you and treat you like whatever, but you Black women are to be the backbone. And no, we can't save everybody. We can't save the ills of this world. We didn't create all the ills of this world, and we certainly can't solve all of them. So I definitely think they're completely intertwined and connected, and we have to address both of them.
You just dropped some gems there, okay? I hope everybody's taking notes on that, because we can't save the world. And a big point of what you said, the fact of the hardships that we face, we should not be participating in our own hardships. And when we don't embrace self-love and ease into the soft life, we would therefore be participating in the hardships that are already present for us day in and day out. And we should look to reject that. And so I just echo in everything you just said. Everything you just said.
Yeah. And then we talk about, for you, I know that you are a time wealth expert, and you have a mantra about living time wealthy. And here on the Black Woman or the Rich Black Woman podcast, we talk about, you know, living richly. And so for us individually, you know, I'd be interested to know from you, Marissa, how does the soft light connect to living richly, and for you, most importantly, time wealthy?
Yes. So from a time wealth perspective, it affords you the opportunity to live the soft life. The very definition of what time wealth is, it speaks to the ability to create and optimize the usage of your time. So I'm going to stop with that part. So when you are optimizing your time, a lot of times when it comes to items of the soft life, people feel like they don't have time to even be able to dedicate to that. And time wealth focus in on how do you optimize that time? And then how do you create an abundance of discretionary time to get to the point where, yes, you've checked and done all the things that you need to do. Now you're getting to the things that you want to do. And it helps to ensure that holistic freedom, security, fortune, independence. And here's the key part, to help you live and lead the life you deserve and desire. And so that's the definition of what time wealth is and what I support people in creating so they can live that life that they've always wanted. And a lot of times when people come to me, they're struggling with getting their schedules together. They don't have time for this, or they feel like they don't have energy for that. And they're trying to really look at their whole life and find that balance. And really isn't even about balance. It's about life management. That's what it comes down to. Being time wealthy is getting to the point of managing your life to that optimal level. And so time wealth allows you to be able to attract and be intentional about what you're embracing and then what you're rejecting in life. So have you always wanted to be able to exercise in the morning and eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner and journal and go out with friends, take trips without having to work during those times, going on walks? Or are those things you have forfeited because you're like, I don't have time or energy and I have all these other things that I need to do for other people? It allows you to be able to sit with yourself and see, what are all the things that you are looking for and would like to have in your life? So the things that you desire, and then what are the things you should have in your life, the things you deserve, to make sure you're able to get that. And so time wealth helps you organize your life and optimize your time to be able to do that. So it does this by empowering, you know, the individual to look at and be clear on 8 management components. So what is, so the aspect of looking at self, your values, boundaries, priorities, capacity, time, energy, and your whole life harmony, so you can see how this works in tandem to fulfilling your purpose and living life with ease. Now, doing all that, I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but in the process of, as you start to get more clarity on what that is, what is in service to you and what is not, then it puts you in the position to live life with ease, and it brings it to you versus you having to fight for it or not have it at all. And I think that connects with living richly, because now you are optimizing all the things in your life and you're seeing the beauty of life versus just the existence of life. And that's where I think both of them come together to allow you to be able to live your best life.
Yeah, that's really good, especially the life management piece. For me, I think that the soft life connects to living richly because it's really about being able to be present in the moment and experience your life. And to your point, not living in haste, but being able to enjoy those things that really matter to you, and not just going through the motions and the drudgery of life, but carving out time where you can be filled up. That's living richly. Carving out time where you are replenished. That's living richly. Carving out time where you're receiving, you're getting a download, you're being re-energized, you're being re-motivated. And looking for activities and people that do that for you, and environments that help you to experience more richness. And really using that as a barometer for what activities you engage in, what environments you place yourself in, what types of people that you surround yourself with. And so that's how I think living richly connects with the soft life, absolutely looking at those things kind of in a three-dimensional way to give you that abundant life.
Yeah, because as you were talking, I was just hearing overflow, overflow, overflow. And a lot of times we pour from empty cups, or even if we pour from full, that means we're draining ourselves. We're supposed to be pouring from the overflow. And just all the things and components you talked about, and what I even talked about, really connects to that. So people can have extra, not only for themselves, but to be able to give to others.
Absolutely. We have a lot of work to do, ladies, to retrain ourselves into learning how to live the soft life and coaching ourselves on how to enjoy the soft life, because this world and the software that we've been given has been malware. And so we've got to replace that malware with some soft life wear.
Come on, that was the whole way.
That just came to me. Oh my gosh, that wasn't even in my notes, y'all. That just was down low. Okay. Yes. So we got to get to some new soft life software.
Yes.
Ooh, okay. So when y'all are recharging your cell phone, or overnight, if you're getting a download from iPhone, you need to accept that soft life software. Okay.
Right.
Nice. I think to kind of close out, we always like to give some tangible tips to folks on what are things that they can do to activate what we're talking about. And so, Marissa, for you, what are two things that you would recommend we do to start embracing the soft life?
Yeah, I would say first, you need to start with self. Start with getting to know yourself again and what you need, what you want, what do you value, what adds and takes away from your life. What do you need to learn and unlearn? What do you need to break up with from yourself or with others so you can start over again? I think it's important to understand that so you know what you value out of life and then what will be in or out of service to you, as I mentioned earlier, as you're looking to create the soft life. So once you have that clarity, then you know what's going to put you in a better position to live that life with ease and know what's going to contribute to you being able to embrace the soft life versus feeling you have to reject it for others. And that leads me to the other point in connection with the healthy boundaries, because once you have that clarity around that, that will help you establish what are your laws, rules, and guidelines. So really getting clear on what you need to put in place to not only protect yourself, so it's not putting up this brick wall, but a fence. Some people can enter the fence and they have access. Some people cannot. And really understanding what are your non-negotiables and what are you standing on and standing for so you are able to achieve the soft life that you want to be able to embrace. Because I will tell you, even when you start looking to live the soft life, somebody's going to try you. Something is going to try you. It's going to make it put you in the place where it's as if you shouldn't have that. And you have to be in position to be able to, one, know that that is your right and your privilege to be able to live this type of life, and then be able to defend the aspect of being able to embrace the soft life. And healthy boundaries is going to allow you to be able to do that.
Yep, 100%. I would say, for me, when I was thinking about this, and I touched on it a little bit earlier, but doing your own soft life audit. So soft life versus hard life, and making like on a piece of paper, a column for hard life, column for soft life, and to put different scenarios going on in your life right now, whether they be people, situations, and under one of those categories. And then begin to think about, and this isn't going to happen overnight, but it's giving you a framework to look at, okay, under hard life, I'm experiencing this. Is this something that I can influence, augment, change in some way? Do I have to be here? Do I need to engage with these folks? Or is there a different way I could approach this? Is there a conversation that I need to have? We need to kind of do an audit on what are those things that red flags was a big thing last year, 2022. Like, what are those red flags? That's really kind of what this audit is looking at. Like, what are those hard life red flags that maybe you're ignoring? You've not maybe had the strength or the ability to really face them, but they're there. And you know that you need to face them in order for you to jump the hurdle over to the soft life. So that's one thing I would definitely say you should do. And then the second tip I would say is, for those of us that are helpers and we tend to go into help mode for other people, some of the best advice I got from someone was to ask if the person wants your help before you start. I know, right? Yeah. Okay. When they said that to me, I was like, oh my goodness.
Right.
Why didn't I know you 25 years ago? Because for people who have a lot of great empathy, perhaps you're the oldest child, a lot of things fall on you or have fallen on you. You're the responsible one. People bring their problems to you, and you go into solve mode, and that is taking a toll on you. You need to ask yourself, first of all, are you in a position to help? what type of help is necessary. But first and foremost, asking if that person who is coming to you with that problem, asking them first, would you like my help? They may just want to air out their dirty laundry or have an ear to listen to them and a shoulder to cry on. And that's it. That's all you need to do. You don't need to go and try to solve their entire life problems. Everybody's on their own journey and their quest for the soft life. So let them carry on their journey for transitioning the hard life to the soft life.
Those are good.
Yeah.
Those are good.
So I hope that the listeners are enjoying this conversation on the soft life. And we're excited because we're going to come back to y'all with some more conversation.
Coming back.
Yes, on the soft life. So be sure to watch for the next episodes dropping. We're going to be talking about how to create a soft life support system. We're going to talk about how we intentionally live the soft life. And even for those of you who are would consider yourselves women of faith, is the soft life biblical? So interesting, maybe controversial question for those of us. And you know, that could be obviously those who consider ourselves followers of Christ, but this actually applies to women in a lot of different faiths, unfortunately, who have been told that you are to put everyone else above you. And then that is the godliest thing to do. So we're going to delve into that and hear some different perspectives. So until then, you know, you can reach Rich Black Woman on Instagram and on Threads now. We're on Threads. So go to at Rich Black Woman. Where can folks reach out to you, Riz?
You can reach out to me on all of the social media platforms, LinkedIn, Instagram, Threads, Facebook at I Am Marissa Lee.
Awesome. And until then, ladies, live richly and live softly.